Well, well, well. Mercedes are out of money. Or at least that's what Toto's saying. But McLaren, yeah, they're not buying that. Mercedes won the first six races of the year, every single one. Then right after Zandvoort, Toto Wolff comes out and has said to his team, can't afford to keep up with his rivals, saying, we haven't got the money to put development on the car. Said after watching Lando Norris beat his cars for the second race in a row, and quite comfortably too. Which is, ironically, quite rich, considering that this is the team that romped off with victory after victory early on, right? Now, let's be clear here. There is a cost cap here. Every team at the front is working underneath the same ceiling. Everyone is on equal terms here. What really counts here is how and where you spend that $215 million. And according to the race's own estimations, Ferrari, as a result, when it comes to brand new parts on the car that they have to declare, they have brought 40, whereas Red Bull and McLaren have brought the likes of 38, and Mercedes, a piddling little 24. Now, of course, not all parts are created equal here. I mean, you could easily say, well, wait a minute, Mercedes brought upgrades to Zandvoort. Well, when you compare it to the five that Ferrari brought and the three that McLaren brought, including that crinkle-cut rear wing, Mercedes, in comparison, just brought one, the same as Red Bull. And what they brought was mainly to do around separating ducts around the braking system. So not exactly revolutionary, unless you're talking about the likes of Cadillac. They'd bite your hand off to have any developments regarding the brakes. And of course, a new floor obviously costs a hell of a lot more than changing, indeed, a duct around a brake. Nor can you easily divide 40 by 24 and just deduce what Ferrari is actually spending, because there are other things that you've got to take into consideration as well. But even the race's attempts to weight those updates by significance still had Mercedes comfortably behind its rivals, and even Red Bull for visible development. And McLaren are looking at Toto's explanation and saying, nope. Stella saying that he'd like to believe his colleague, but he just simply couldn't. He thinks Mercedes has more capacity developed than Toto is letting on, and specifically pointed towards additional cost cap allowances connected with next year's regulations, because they are quite significant. There are changes to downforce, there's of course a brand new power unit regulation specification thing, so something is off here. It was not anticipating that its rivals could actually be, you know, good, and that their tactic of divide and conquering, saying that resistance is useless back in the winter, would have been enough, that there was no point trying to challenge Mercedes, and that they may as well just give up and just accept and roll with the consequences. It can't apparently speed its program up, whereas Stella believes that it absolutely can, because remember the art of sandbagging. And what makes this juicy for everyone who's not a Mercedes fan is that Toto has been saying pretty much the same thing regarding one of its rivals for months. It's the irony here is just, wow, it's aged quickly. Because do you remember all the stuff that he was talking about Ferrari not long after the Austrian Grand Prix, saying that he just absolutely couldn't believe that Ferrari could keep developing its car like this, saying that the progress is absolutely limitless? Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly have my foam of doubt regarding that. Me believing that, ooh, Toto, are you trying to angle for a potential investigation into a potential breach of the cost cap in terms of spending from Ferrari's part? But his main argument was saying that surely Ferrari can't keep up this level of development because they would eventually hit the wall. Well, I think it might be safe to say that if things continue the way they are right now, and Toto is meant to be believed, then maybe Mercedes might have hit their own particular wall in terms of development. And Ferrari did not enjoy hearing that. When Mercedes or Red Bull developed aggressively, Fred said, people called them geniuses. But when his own team does it, people start to think Ferrari might be cheating. Now, Wolff hasn't publicly accused Ferrari of breaching the rules, but based on Vasseur's interpretation of where Toto's comments were headed, you could certainly sense the implication, since they do know each other quite well. And those comments have aged in a very interesting way, if you ask me. Because Ferrari's kept developing, as has McLaren, and both have gotten much quicker. And in fact, when you look to F1.com's own estimations after the Dutch Grand Prix, when it comes to everything bar the straights, indeed, those two teams do have the measure of Mercedes. And sure enough, I believe its advantage will erode if it hasn't already, or it may even actually flip around, that the only thing Mercedes might have going for it is its straight line advantage. And if the 15 brake horsepower ADUO advantage for Ferrari around Monza is anything to go by, then that might not be around for long. And therefore, it changes the dynamic of the comments that Toto made specifically. It makes it less of an accusation now than I believed it was back in the day. Instead, it might have been a sense of lamentation from Wolff that maybe, okay, I'll get the spanner out just to make you feel a little bit more comfortable, especially if you're a Mercedes fan, that it was a sense of public frustration that he was looking at Ferrari closing in and then eventually Lewis Hamilton getting that Barcelona win and then Leclerc getting the Silverstone win and then just sensing, well, look at that. How come we can't develop as fast as the other teams? And I think Mercedes' own technical team gave us a very revealing clue not long into the season. Note James Allison. He described earlier in the year how aggressively Mercedes attacked the launch version of their car, pushing heavily before the season, leaving very little contingency, and effectively spending a lot of their available early performance before racing began. And sure enough, we got 6 race wins out of 6. They looked untouchable. Although pre-season testing did bring up questions regarding their reliability, especially in the shakedown. The problem with leaving yourself very little contingency, though, is that F1 has this annoying habit of producing things that you didn't plan for. We also have to remember from his deputy, good old Bradley Lord, that there will be performance updates coming, that they would be coming around at a fairly consistent rate. So the first 6, Mercedes won quite comfortably. But the next 6, Mercedes have only gone on to win 2 of them. McLaren have won 2, Ferrari have won 2. So we've got this nice little synergy going on around here. Well, I think it's quite safe to say now that Mercedes no longer has the obviously fastest car, and now Toto wants to push, but then is realizing that he absolutely can't do that because, well, the budget to be able to do that has already been allocated to parts that have already been established at the beginning of the year or early on the season when times were good. So when it comes to Stella's questioning what Toto's saying, it might be down to what actually Mercedes has in terms of actual coffer spend. And that he also mentioned, Andrea, that McLaren had just kept about enough of a development budget to be able to do something in case the opportunity arose. In short, they, unlike Mercedes, had a contingency budget. And also, Stella gave a very specific bet that maybe the W17, the version that the Mercedes team might have in the wind tunnel, could be the thing that completely transforms their season again, puts them back out in front, or maybe gives McLaren and Ferrari something to really reckon, and then maybe having to turn up the wick even more. And yeah, that's entirely possible, given the history of Mercedes and wanting to take things gingerly, softly, softly when they can, but it's certainly obvious that Toto does not look as impervious as he did even a couple of months ago. And when you look at what Ferrari's been doing, you could say that Ferrari's approach to 2026 is the complete opposite of Wolff's and Mercedes. It's actually a really fascinating phenomena that we are seeing. All the top 3 teams are doing completely different strategies, and I'm really curious to see which one actually comes out on top. If you have performance available early, says Fred, get it on the car early. Every race you delay an improvement is another race where that improvement can't score you points, and so Ferrari have pushed. It had a basic version of their car ready to pass FIA crash tests early and used for the shakedown, and then eventually they had a more complex version for later in the year. That distinction between the 2 teams is much more interesting than just counting the number of upgrades anyway, because, well, it's open and shut within a few seconds. Mercedes had a fantastic opening car, but their rivals have spent more of the season trying to build towards a better car. The 6 races, you would have picked Mercedes' strategy every time. And even though many have switched off from the season and championship entirely, it has changed very noticeably because, again, you can't ignore the fact that in the last 6 races, Mercedes have won the same amount of Grand Prix as Ferrari and McLaren. And it might go some way to partly explain why we saw team orders as we did around the Dutch Grand Prix, where George Russell simply allowed Kimi Antonelli through after Mercedes made a strategic mistake, very much reminding me of papaya rules, to ensure that Antonelli maintains his championship lead whenever he can. Especially when you consider, and Toto considers, that Kimi may not score as many points around his home race. And let's not forget all of the stuff about the International Court of Appeal with the FIA and potentially what may happen with the Monaco results. Remember that? How Red Bull and McLaren are appealing against the results, Gasly's podium, etc.? Who knows? One scenario, and I'll get the spanner out here, could see the ban hammer coming down on the classification of the results, and it might be wiped out entirely. And if that happens, Norris comes roaring back into the championship. Then, of course, there's reliability. But it doesn't really count in the way that you might be thinking. Because, yeah, Kimi and George have suffered technical issues this season, with Ferrari relatively bulletproof. Hamilton being the only driver out there, I believe, having completed every single lap of the season so far. Meanwhile, Toto reckons Mercedes has left somewhere in the region of 50 to 100 championship points on the table, thanks to his cars conking out. And I would be inclined to believe him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean broken engines have eaten into the aerodynamic budget of the W17, because the FIA treats the team cost cap and the power unit manufacturer's financial regulations separately. And we also don't have any evidence as to believe that in terms of overall spend, that the W17 has indeed prioritised reliability over actual development. Although I do recall Toto saying that he would rather have a fast and fragile car. Well, be careful what you wish for, Toto. Besides, I think the thorn in Toto is elsewhere anyway. Because they spent heavily to bank a huge early championship advantage. Reliability meant it didn't bank as much of an advantage as they would have liked to or they believed they had. And now McLaren's rapidly improving after a very tricky and unreliable start to their own year. And then Ferrari got even quicker. Mercedes is about to feel another consequence of the reliability situation too, because again, Antonelli's going to take a huge engine grid penalty at his own home race. It could be more than 10 places. Let's not forget that these grid penalties do stack, although after the third one, it does start to lose all meaning. And then after the fourth one and beyond, it starts to get absolutely comical. Remember the 65 grid penalty that McLaren got that one race for changing all of its parts? And this comes at a time where his own boss is saying that, we don't really have the funds to be able to catch up in the same way that Ferrari and McLaren had. And I think what makes this especially awkward is that McLaren seems to be the punchiest of all of their rivals because yes, Ferrari does have a car that is seemingly capable of being able to catch up to Mercedes, but when it comes to strategy and the contentment of their own drivers, you know, Hamilton and Leclerc battling for superiority, it does make it very, very dramatic for Mercedes, given what happened at the start of the year. Because the MCL40 spent its season living with Mercedes' power unit problems, and Norris has already worked through a grid penalty back at Spa, so the team and he know exactly what problems the Mercedes engine sides could cost, because those problems have cost them as well. Yet it still managed to develop aggressively enough to win back-to-back races and turn itself into a real threat, albeit noticeably down on points and positions than they could have been after the did-not-start for Norris around China. And Stella knows the regulations and what McLaren itself has managed to do, as well as what the Mercedes power unit has put its own team through after years of relative calm as a supplier, and he believes that Mercedes has more performance coming. So it's not really a case of Andrea or McLaren sitting on their laurels or believing that they have done enough to take the fight to Mercedes. They believe that Mercedes has got more left in the tank than they are letting on. So that is going to be taken account in terms of their strategies as well as their development budget. So we can't say that McLaren are getting cocky here. They sense an opportunity, yes, and that is very good for the championship and for our own interests. And whilst Ferrari are busy dilly-dallying about their own strategies and deciding which driver they are actually going to favour after all, well, Lando right now has got it completely sus, whereas Oscar, I mean, oh boy. And I think there's another thing that Toto said that deserves a little bit more airtime, and that is to do with, well, time. Because these days you can't decide after a race that McLaren's become inconvenient and order a new floor for the next race. You've got design work to consider as well as simulation, manufacturing, validating, and the cost cap. And also, you might not even have the part working properly when you put it on the car in FP1. Mercedes has already said performance is moving through that process, and even though it's adapted to the new era after limitless spending pre-2021, it still hasn't fully adapted, I think. So when Toto says we haven't got the money, he may be compressing a much more complicated problem into a very newsworthy quip. I mean, that is something of a habit of his, right? He does tend to do that. He doesn't tend to stop talking, and we get these really interesting sound bites. Some of them can be very problematic, but they do get your attention. And you might be thinking he'd also get some sympathy. Well, based around the crowd reaction around Zandvoort when George Russell took the sprint pole and win, the crowd went absolutely mild. Instead, what we're seeing right now is Toto exerting his frustration that his team has not got the contingency plan in place to be able to respond to the likes of McLaren and Ferrari. Having it come from two different teams, including one of their own customers, was not something that they foresaw, especially when you consider that Williams and McLaren were really down on their luck at the beginning of the year, struggling to really get to grips with the power unit. Given what they've been able to do, McLaren, in terms of the aero, well, they might have been able to get around the problem. And with Norris saying that the car is still horrible to drive, despite him winning, it does tell me that their relationship with the Mercedes power plant hasn't really gotten back to good terms like it did last year or the year before that. No, it's all been down to McLaren's aerodynamic innovations and the work of Rob Marshall to be able to counter all the other woes of Mercedes. And of course, yes, them having the best engine, even though the FIA is quick to say the opposite. And I think that lack of contingency could really define the championship here. Sure, I can't say for sure that Lando Norris will win the championship this year, but now he's certainly looking in a lot better position, him now matching the same number of wins as the guy who's in second place right now. But it's not like Mercedes have come away with absolutely no reward for it, because after years of being in the relative wilderness, they managed to start the year with 6 Grand Prix victories. And in total so far, they've got a total of 8. That's far better than what they've had since 2021. So they can say for sure that this, in relation to the last few years, has been a complete success. Although it would like to have a championship as well to go along for the ride. And they also were able to define Kimi Antonelli as a major star of the sport, and to obviously rubbish all the naysayers that believed Toto had picked the wrong driver, or at least picked the right driver too soon. It was all, I think, to prove a point. Well, hello McLaren and Ferrari. I don't believe Mercedes saw their upticks coming. And that might explain Toto's obsession with Ferrari, because Mercedes may believe Ferrari has effectively taken performance it could have saved for later and bought it early instead. But eventually they may indeed hit the wall, but it hasn't done so yet, and Fred's shown no signs of worrying or slowing down. I mean, we don't know for sure, but we can finally see what the argument is really about between the big teams. All of them are making different bets as to how they are going to measure their own performance curve. We are seeing 3 very different strategies here. And you might be wondering, well, where's Red Bull in all of this? Well, after what happened at the Dutch Grand Prix, I don't believe they're going to be developing the RB22 for much longer. But I do find it really cool what we're witnessing, though. I'm really keen to see which strategy actually wins out at the end of the season. Because we've got Ferrari choosing to attack early and then keep on attacking until the bitter end. Then we've got Mercedes doing what they did, attacking very early, but then managing all of the rest of the stuff throughout the season. And then McLaren going for something in the middle that they had a decent development curve at the start, nobbled by all the lost positions and opportunities to test, because at the start of the season, they had even less laps completed than Aston Martin, but then they left just enough budget in the tank to be able to do something if they sensed something was worthwhile. Because if we got to a situation where the upgrades didn't work and Lando Norris wasn't in a position to win Grand Prix, I believe they would have ceased development on the MCL40 and maybe put that budget into other parts of the operation. Basically, what McLaren has and Mercedes is craving for is a contingency plan. And I think it's especially evident that Mercedes are managing themselves because they've only had one major upgrade package so far this year, and that was the one in Canada. And let's be fair to them, their plan, Mercedes, for the longest time, I think up until very recently, looked like the best one. That all you had to do was do the Brawn approach. Just get all of your wins in early and then manage it just enough to be able to hold the advantage and then come out on top. Well, when it comes to the reliability, it's certainly been a thorn in everyone's side at Brackley. And then Ferrari's strategy is starting to really come up fast. I mean, if they can allow their drivers to be able to do what they can. Whereas McLaren, it might actually be the best bet, albeit with just one of the drivers. I mean, it does gall me to say that, but, you know, my boy, I've got to be realistic here. Because Lando is admittedly driving much more like a champion than he did at the beginning of 2025. Which brings us back to Toto. Months ago, he was looking across the paddock at Ferrari, watching development after development arrive, and publicly musing how that could even be possible under the cost cap. He thought Ferrari would hit the wall eventually, but it seems like his own teams hit the wall first. However, if Mercedes' next major development that Stella believes is coming puts them comfortably back out at the front, then this all looks rather clever. It built the fastest car and stuck to its plan and didn't wobble when its rivals spent aggressively trying to catch up to them. And on top of that, leaving themselves vulnerable for 2027, and then Mercedes might continue their good fortune into yet another year. But it all depends on that upgrade actually coming to light, and it fails to respond to what McLaren and Ferrari also bring, because they may bring upgrades of their own in conjunction with the major upgrade package of Mercedes, maybe the last one of the year, then it might give us a situation where we might be going into the final race of the year thinking it's absolutely on. And those old comments about Ferrari's limitless development spending start to look completely and utterly different. Maybe Toto was just saying, oh, Ferrari, absolutely lucky. Why can't we develop at the same pace as them? It's not been all bad for Mercedes, but it's certainly gotten to a position where they don't look nearly as comfortable as they did when George Russell proclaimed that he loves these regulations, he loves these cars. I don't think they love this car as much as they used to anymore. But I think you will love this video over here. It is certainly worth your time. I'll go and freshen myself up, and I'll be right with you.